there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hey, happy Friday. It's Dominic D'Angelo of SEScoops.com, AdFreeShows.com. But I'm here, Rumor Innuendo Friday. It's Robert Karpolis, WE_Creative_ish. And Robert, we got some trios action happening today.
We got some trios action here today. As PG, a three-way, as you're really going to want to see out of the three of us. We are joined by my co-host on Wrestle Roast, an incredibly talented comedian and brilliant insider in terms of professional wrestling. Dan St. Germain is here. Dom, let's bring Dan in and welcome him to the show. Dan, what's up?
Future Observer Hall of Famer Dan St. Germain.
That is manifesting for right there. He's either going to wind up in the Observer Hall of Fame voting group, or there's going to be a restraining order by Meltzer. Either way, I'm happy.
Either way, I'm so glad to be here. Your guys' weight music when you're in the studio is amazing.
It's very tranquil.
Very tranquil.
I feel at peace.
This is what happens when you're on ad free shows, and Conrad knows that you're on ad free shows, as opposed to Wrestle Roasts, where we're kind of the redheaded stepchild over there. But here we're welcomed in. We're embraced. And speaking of welcoming in and embracing, let's say hi to some of the folks in the chat. We got Antonio Santos says, happy Friday. David Mage says, woo, in the Sting voice, which is a lot less sad than the woo in the Flair voice. And Commando says, happy Friday. Can't wait for that sweet, sweet CW info. Commando, we were going to talk Billy Corgan in the CW today. Unfortunately, we got to make time for Dan St. Germain. So we got to bump that Billy in the CW story to later.
Wait, is that true? Is he is NWA coming back on CW? I thought they blew it.
They're streaming on the app. Oh, but okay. At one point they said they were going to be on there, and then they got bumped for NXT because one of their guys took a bump on a pay-per-view.
A bit of a bump.
Remember that.
We got a ton of stuff to talk about here today. We, again, joined by the star of the new comedy special, Dance Fatty Dance, available on YouTube for free. It is incredible. Dom, you actually got a chance to watch it. What was your takeaway of that thing?
Dude, I was cracking up. There's so much different. The way you set things up and it ties all together in certain aspects, and then you're you cover a lot of ground on it, but I was cracking up the whole time. It's definitely my kind of humor too. And I met you, I think, first at StarCast too, and you've obviously done a couple of my shows before, but this was a great special. It's definitely something to really tune into. You make one wrestling reference, I noticed. That was it, but that was still great stuff.
What was the wrestling reference I make?
John Cena music. You mentioned John Cena's music.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I kind of wanted to have this one did not have wrestling bits, but I promise my next special will have at least one wrestling joke. I have one I'm working on about, we still recorded Wrestle Roast the day my mom died. And, I was so emotionally fragile during that episode, which, you know, doesn't sound funny, but it kind of was.
Well, so that episode, by the way, it's in the Wrestle Roast archive, not that we're plugging our other show or anything, but our other co-host, Mike Lawrence's dad, passed away within 24 hours of Dan's mom dying. So they both were doing the show at extremely emotionally fragile times. Yeah. And it's some of the funniest, meanest stuff you're ever going to hear. It's well worth going out of your way. But Dan can make jokes about wrestling now, guys, because The Rock has re-embraced his WWE roots. So Dom, where are we starting with today?
Yeah, we are going to kick it off with a little bit of a SmackDown preview coming up. The Rock's going to be in Memphis. He called it home. So we might have a possible Rock concert going on. And then also on the card is slated Bayley versus Dakota Kai. Rey Mysterio is going to probably further his Santos Escobar feud. Also on tap, possibly Randy Orton versus Grayson Waller, and then we got some six-pack tag team title ladder match qualifiers going on. So, Dan, what do you think about this whole aspect of the heel Rock coming back? It took me right back to me being like in my teens and all that stuff. So
I love it. I wish he didn't do the goosebumps thing because that's more of a, but it's kind of heelish, I guess. It's kind of heelish. I mean, this is like, enjoy it, man. We're not going to get this. And, you know, I guess it does seem like he's going to be around for a couple matches this year. At least that's what they've been, you know, the Easter eggs they've been planting. But, yeah, we're not going to, you know, like, enjoy it. It's kind of like when Cena comes back, enjoy it, because it's not going to be there forever. We're in a really unique time to watch professional wrestling, I think, across the board. And I for one, will be covering it on our Patreon. I, for one, am really excited to check The Rock's concert stylings out.
No doubt.
Yeah, Robert. So I know that we saw a little while ago, The Rock is going to be filming a movie shortly after WrestleMania. So he's going to be going away for a little while. He's not making the trip to Saudi Arabia, which is probably for the best. Most likely, he won't be back wrestling until SummerSlam. But that doesn't negate that he can still make appearances, whether that is him still aligned with Roman Reigns or still kind of helping lead the Bloodline. Or there's always the possibility, you know, with some folks with the weird conspiracy theorists, but he's throwing up the L instead of the one, that he is somehow going to turn on Roman, which to me is probably worst case scenario for WrestleMania, just because I want to see Cody win and win clean. Dan, what do you think we're going to see from The Rock at Mania?
I think we're going to see, you know, he doesn't have to do a lot. The one thing that makes me a little nervous is we saw his appearance with Jinder Mahal on Raw, and it was the most slow motion people's elbow I've ever seen. So I'm hoping that he's a little bit quicker than that, but I think that's going to be such a story match, you know, like that whole match is just going to be looks, and it's going to be like Roman tagging himself in and the stare down between Rock and Roman. And, you know, I think they have to go over, because you just have to have a bunch of, you know, adversity just heaped onto Cody before Sunday night. But I think that the best thing that he could do is also, let's not make it more than 20 minutes, man. I mean, we remember that WrestleMania 29 match with Cena where he tore his pec, and the 28 match was good-ish, right? But the 29 one, especially because The Undertaker and CM Punk kind of blew the roof off the place. You know, the 29 one, I remember, like, people were texting me from 29 and being like, God, this is long. You know, it was really long. So hopefully he's smart enough to know, you know, what to do, what not to do. I think that we're going to have to see, like, Rollins get his ass kicked during this entire match, just so we can further that storyline the next night. But it's going to be a true storyline match. You know, it's not going to be a five-star, you know, Ospreay Okada affair. It's going to be let's sell some tickets. Let's put some asses. Let's get some eyeballs on this thing.
All due respect, Dan, 20 minutes won't cover the entrances the way these guys are going like that. And that's what we're going to get. That's what we're going to get tonight. Yet Rock saying Memphis is home. He picks and chooses, like, when he's down here in Miami, Miami is home. As of yet, Rock has not released his Kevin Spacey on Christmas style YouTube video of I'm in this town and here's 20 minutes of me freestyling. I like that little, he's putting the stuff out there on YouTube. He's able to tell that story a little bit more vulgar, a little bit more behind the curtain. Then he goes out there on SmackDown and you're getting vintage, mean-spirited Rock. Dan, have you watched some of those YouTube videos?
I haven't finished one yet, just because I've always, you know, like with Dance Fatty Dance, the new special on YouTube, I've been in the middle of like a promotional gamut right now, but they've been fantastic. The stuff that I did see the first one. I've been saving the one where he's like Daniel Rodimer, where he's like wearing the cowboy hat. And I mean, this guy, man, I mean, he's the thing is like Rock. Somebody described this to me. Rock is the bully in high school that's actually funny. And that's why he drives the nerds crazy, because he actually, you know, they can't just write him off as this is just some big steroid dope. He knows what areas to hit. So, I mean, I think that, like, part of it is just, you know, the only thing that's been annoying me about a social media presence, and Scott talked about it on our podcast, Wrestle Rose, which you can get on ad-free shows, is that The Rock sometimes is like breaking the fourth wall to be like, oh, I'm a heel. Come on, guys. I'm a heel, you know? But we want to, you know, come on, like, just live the gimmick for the next 2 months, man. You know, like, just, you know, be total kayfabe.
Any negativity will blow over, at that point. Like, once you get done with your whole angle and stuff like that, people are going to forget about it and remember it fondly, I think.
Yeah, well, the thing is that we really, I mean, he said he's going to be part of every SmackDown between now and WrestleMania, so we're going to get another 3 Rock appearances. And with the match being set, you have the tag match set, you have the world title match set. He can now kind of go on autopilot a little bit. It's now, you know, stoking the flames. It'd be fun to see another Rock concert. I think part of the challenge with that for SmackDown, and we've said this before, when you're on Fox and you're on network TV, you only have so much time. Mm-hmm. And Rock tends to go very long. So either you're going to have to put Rock at the start of the show and give him as much leeway as you want, or you're going to put him at the end and really have to run the risk of you're cutting off the Rock in the middle of whatever he's saying.
Well, that's what happened last week, like you noted out too, probably. It's like they probably had more set up for it and just did not happen. So,
well, other setup that we've got for WrestleMania, we're going to see Dakota Kai in her first match back against Bayley. Mm-hmm. My take on this women's world title match, which I think is going to be great. I think Io Sky and Bayley are going to deliver. It really feels like it's been marginalized.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there's a lot that's, you know, I thought the intriguing setup was going to be Dakota Kai's going to befriend Bayley and be on her side, but no, it's not that. But there haven't been a lot of build to it. And, you know, even since the start of Royal Rumble, that press conference and stuff, it seemed like, okay, Bayley's on the big trajectory here, but they haven't really delivered on that, I think.
Dan, what do you think of this?
I guess I'm not as down on it as you guys are. They have a lot of storylines they got to get over for this show. And, you know, Io's limited. She speaks, I don't know how much English she speaks. So you can only tell so many stories, you know, when somebody can't speak English.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe this will help Bayley. Like, you know, I do see there's like a little bit of an online, you know, fire starting about, like, you know, give Bayley her flowers. Everything can't just be about Becky and Rhea, and all that kind of stuff ends up helping, like, the talent if it's positive. You know, I mean, we saw that with Jinder Mahal after Tony Khan went after him. So, you know, I'm fine with it, man. I think it'll be a really good match, and I just don't know. You know, they have a lot of guys. You know, like, would I rather see a longer Bayley? Bayley, you know, Dakota Kai segment that I would, you know, a Karrion Kross, Bobby Lashley segment. Sure. I think that you can definitely chop some of that down. But, you know, who knows, man? I mean, like, we've had segments that go too long and then we're like, we're kind of sick of the feud. So maybe just a little sprinkling of it will make the heart grow fonder or whatever.
It feels like the setup here. Bayley outnumbered with damage control. They teased last week. Naomi feeling sympathetic about Bayley's situation. Bianca Belair less so. We've hypothesized on here for several weeks now that we're probably going to get Kabuki Warriors defending against Naomi and Bianca. It was a matter of how do we get there. I have a feeling that's what we're going to see here tonight. It's all about setting up those matches going forward, Dom. And like you mentioned, there's also the Orton Grayson Waller match. We still don't know who Logan Paul is going to be facing at WrestleMania. Dan, what's your ideal scenario for Logan?
I think it's Orton. Do one-on-one. I understand, you know, Kevin Owens has had a nice little feud with Logan Paul, and I understand he's headlined the last 2 WrestleManias. But you want to do what's best for business. And, you know, we've seen Kevin Owens, you know, have a really prominent spot on WrestleMania 34 and then not be used again at WrestleMania 35. So, you know, it's not unheard of. I'm sure people will get annoyed by it, but maybe that'll help Kevin Owens. Maybe, again, you know, like, you know, Jericho used to have that thing of, like, you know, you don't want to be on the top of the card all the time. You want people to miss you. And I think this is a good way to maybe have him in the corner of Randy or something. I know that that's kind of an annoying spot. And then if Randy loses, you have a ready-made feud with Randy and Kevin Owens. I'm not sure.
No, I think that makes sense. And I think that concept of missing Kevin Owens, missing the Kevin Owens we had, resonates. And guys, if you're missing your ability to deliver in the bedroom, may we talk to you about our friends at Blue Chew. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Once you take that Blue Chew, you're not going to miss your WrestleMania performance. You're not going to be sitting on the sideline like Kevin Owens. You're going to be pointing at that sign year after year because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo. Guys, perfect way to start your weekend. Watch SmackDown tonight. Fire up YouTube. Watch Dance Fatty Dance. Pop one of those Blue Chews. It's going to be a hell of a way to start your weekend.
You know, Blue Chew is a great product, but if I could have one of those Men in Black memory sticks to make me forget about Robert talking about getting ready for sex, I could really use that right now because that was chilling, guys.
Look, we all know that was enough for Dan. He doesn't even need the Blue Chew right now. Just hearing the ad.
And he's hearing your voiceover. Yeah, I just need your voiceover during it.
It's soothing. As Dan is sitting there chewing, which is even more unnerving. All right. Like, how long have you been gnawing on that Blue Chew? It's just, you're supposed to chew it.
I don't know, Dominic. I know Robert will never cover this because, you know, he's a part of the Stanford cabal and conspiracy. But the big rumor on some of the dirt sheets is that Robert Karpeles and Linda McMahon are getting back together. So I don't know if you've heard about this. I know Robert's a married man, but we've heard all this Vince stuff. There's been rumors that, you know, we've seen Robert and Linda at a Ribera steakhouse. I'm not sure what's going on, but I love Rachel, Robert's wife, so I'm disappointed. But, you know, it's going to be a major news story you're going to have to break with or without Robert's help.
Look out for SCScoops.com.
Yeah. Anything that happened there was under NDA, and you guys know whenever we talk about NDAs on Rumor and Innuendo, it always ends well. So let's move on to our next topic, Dom. What other happy couples are we going to be talking about here? Folks that are clearly getting along beautifully.
Oh yeah. You know, such happy couples, and especially down in NXT. Now we apparently have Booker T and CM Punk reportedly maybe getting into some sort of altercation. According to Booker T on his Hall of Fame podcast, he said, "I almost had a little run-in with CM Punk. The internet might want to pick that up. Me and CM Punk almost got into it at NXT this week. We'll talk about it later because it's going to pick it up and run with it." So there was a picture of Punk sitting far aside watching NXT. So he was at the tapings. Is this a storyline? Is this something else happening? What's going on here, Dan?
They've dumped on each other a lot. So, yes. Well, Booker T is mostly dumped on Phil, right?
Yeah.
I would take Booker in that fight. I don't know about you guys, but you know, Booker's done hard time and he's got a lot of size on CM Punk. I implore Phil, you know, you're not gonna just be able to jungle boy Booker T. You know, like he's gonna have some live rounds for you.
Do you think those guys would be on the same page with the fact that both Booker T and Punk hate the Young Bucks? Like you have ways to build bridges. We want peace here, guys.
Well, if there's anything that we know about, you know, CM Punk, I mean, eventually this will fall apart. You know, like it's unless you cordon him off, like eventually, you know, he will burn that bridge. But I just don't know if WWE is going to be into this because, like, what money could you make from a CM Punk Booker T feud? I don't think anyone's clamoring for that. No one's clamoring. I mean, maybe is that a Sally show? I don't know. I just don't. The whole thing about WWE is, you know, they want to get, you know, if they're gonna run with this, they want to get the match on in the ring, and I just don't think that that's gonna happen between these two.
No, this feels like Booker T, like striving for this kind of relevance. It seems to happen a lot with him. He was also the one that was talking about how Sami Zayn was genuinely upset about fans not being on board with him beating Chad Gable. It's Booker stirring up controversy to put eyeballs on him, which honestly feels very much like an AEW commentator kind of action, not a WWE thing. So if there's anything here, I suspect that WWE is going to try to squash this pretty quickly, unless they're trying to build some sort of buzz or storyline, because Punk is back on Raw this coming week, right?
Yeah. I think it's the next week, actually.
Is it the next week when they're in Chicago?
Yeah, next week after that. So,
well, you know,
do him as the referee for Seth and Drew. That's been the rumor.
Is he going to, you know, can he, if he tries counting to three, is he going to tear his quad or pec or something like that? I don't know. But, you know, that's Booker trying to, you know, draw eyeballs to his podcast. But Dom, nobody else said something stupid on a podcast to get them in trouble this week, right?
Oh, not at all. Mercedes Moné was on the, I believe it's the Kick Rocks podcast.
Look at how seamless these transitions are, guys. It's,
you
totally
should see
off
other
the
days,
top.
Dan. It's kind of rough. I don't pick up on them sometimes.
It does feel weird. It feels like we have company over.
Right,
like
doesn't
like,
it?
To, like, be like well behaved.
I know, I'm like beyond my ones and twos here. Mercedes Moné said on this Kick Rocks podcast that hinted that she's going to be back at WWE at some point. Actually, she just said it. She says, I know I'm going to be back there one day. Like I said, I have a lot of unfinished business in a lot of places. And then in the Observer, it was noted by Dave Meltzer. He said, boy, did this one rub a lot of people the wrong way. Time will tell. And quite frankly, she should always have it in her mind, the possibility of going to WWE. But saying so days before she's about to start in AEW wouldn't be the right time politically to say that. Dan, you're pretty politically correct. What do you think about those comments?
I understand why AEW would be a little upset with this, especially after the number that they did on Wednesday. They probably want her to, you know, be all in with the company. It seems like she's already planning, you know, saying something like that is kind of already, you know, like you're kind of already like revealing your escape hatch, you know? So I understand that being upset. I don't think she realizes how much, you know, I think Mercedes Moné is fantastic, but I don't think she realizes just how much work she's going to have to do to get this division over. It's been the sore spot of that company for since 2018 when the company premiered. And, you know, to Samoa Joe's credit, he's kind of like almost stabilized the world title scene and been, you know, a steady hand for that company. You know, he's, look, nobody's saying that he's like on fire or, you know, is having the Cody run that Cody's having in WWE, but he's kind of calmed the waters a little bit. And, you know, Mercedes kind of has to be a little bit of a leader, but that's never what she's been known for, man. She's never been known, you know, to be the Becky or even the Bianca now, right? She's been kind of known as, you know, the pilled up Shawn Michaels of the women's division, right? Like that's like she's like causing controversy. So it'll be interesting to watch this. I for sure know that if like, you know, if Tony starts cutting her time, or you know, she starts getting the 925 spot, whoo, you're gonna hear about it.
Oh yeah. she's the first person to finally get Tony to hire a WWE writer to come on board. It's something Tony's always been.
I didn't know she was the impetus, by the way.
Yeah, that's why they brought her over. Was because that was who Mercedes worked with when she was Sasha. So she wants her stuff crafted. And we've always talked about AEW being this very siloed place where if you're in the Bryan Danielson camp, you're going to be treated one way. If you're with the Elite, you're going to be treated another way. This is just adding another piece to it. What would be really interesting to see is some of the folks in AEW, not naming names, Britt Baker, can't seem to hide what they feel about this. So I'm curious if there starts to be some rumbling, some ripples going on as Mercedes is there.
Has Britt been throwing shade at Mercedes?
Not yet, but she's good about throwing shade at everybody. We remember back when there was the a couple people started liking that tweet about MJF getting too much mic time. And we thought, oh, is this a storyline? Nope. Just Britt Baker and I think it was like Sammy Guevara and Jack Perry being like, yeah, this guy's getting too much time. They're not very good at hiding their feelings, but hopefully for them guys, Mercedes Moné will do big business. But Dom, we have some news about big business that happened this past Wednesday.
Yeah, the numbers for big business were not too big. AEW big business, the addition of Dynamite drew 801,000 fans and a 2.27 rating in the coveted 18 to 49 demographic. While this is an increase from the previous week, which had 779,000, it was hardly a massive jump. Many expected for the show featuring Moné and saw an AEW championship match. For comparison, last year's AEW Dynamite drew 852,000 with a 0.27 rating. So even that one was bigger than that. And that was the Winnipeg, Canada one headlined by House of Black versus the Elite for the Trios Championship. So didn't pack as much of a punch from a, you know, who star power one, but this is kind of a letdown there, Dan, for AEW.
I mean, Okada was part of New Japan when it started going down. You know, it's not like he left and they went down. He was part of the gradual decline. And Mercedes is a tremendous talent, but she's not CM Punk. She's not John Cena. She's not going to get people to tune in.
Would you have announced Mercedes in advance?
Of course. Yeah. I don't understand why they didn't do that. I mean, that I think if they announced it, it could have gotten to like 850. I don't know if it could have gotten to 900, but it could have gotten 850. But you know, Tony, we've been criticizing Tony for the same things for the past 3 years, and he doesn't fix them. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't care. This is his toy box. So like, he's just gonna do what Tony wants to do, and. You know, right now, the story they're telling in AEW is we have the best roster and the best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they have the best roster, but they do have the best matches. So if you want to watch great matches, watch an AEW pay-per-view. But their TV is just never going to be as tight as WWE. The way that they build stories isn't going to be as tight as WWE. And the things that upset you as a viewer are not going to be changed. So I can do that. I can kind of like, you know, I can separate myself and be like, all right, I know that if I watch an AEW pay-per-view, you know, I'm going to get a great Ospreay match. But I never kid myself anymore into thinking that they're going to, you know, become something they're not. That's just not in the cards.
I think that's where my frustration comes in is the Revolution pay-per-view was pretty much across the board well-received. You had a ton of eyeballs on there, Sting's retirement, a lot of really incredible matches that Ospreay Takeshita match is what stands out in my mind. And then Dynamite right after that show didn't do a big number. It was down in the sevens, did 700 something thousand views at a point in time where the overall wrestling world is white hot. You're on this build to WrestleMania, Raw, SmackDown selling out week after week. And when you're a slightly casual wrestling fan, which, you know, I know not you folks tuning in, but some folks are, they only pay attention in that kind of January to April corridor. So they're watching everything that's going on with wrestling and they're just not tuning into Dynamite. So I'm curious what the hell AEW really needs to do, or are they just happy doing 800 something thousand views a week?
I think that's it. I think to Dan's point, I don't think Tony's willing to really make the changes or is aware of those changes. Like, nobody's making him cognizant of it. And on top of it, it's an aspect like these chickens have come home to roost with this when it comes to like the women's division. If you built the women's division up and you had these talents that you were excited for Mercedes Moné to go up against, there could be plenty of stuff to be intrigued by her showing up and getting a good number. But I mean, that's across the board, though, with the roster a lot of the times. Like, you could say that with every division, whatever it may be. So,
well, if these numbers keep going down, Tony Khan's going to be a dead man.
Ooh, yes. And Undertaker is well aware of that. And he feels a bit of a void. According to his Patreon podcast that he does, he was talking about leaving wrestling and said, I just knew my body couldn't deliver what my mind and my heart wanted to give the fans. And it was kind of difficult. You have to remember that for over half a year of my life, being in the ring is what I did. and then it's not there anymore. That does, it does leave a huge void, because you're trying to fill that void, which was a passion. You're trying to find out what next passion is and what that you're going to sink your teeth into. And there just may not be something that will ever refill that void. Dan, are we going to see The Undertaker come back?
I never say never. I think that he's just, all these guys get bummed out because they're like, oh no, now I've got to be a husband. I've actually got to go home and hang out with my family. And I mean, he's probably told all the stories he can tell in his one man show. Yeah, dude, it's got, I mean, like, as a performer, you know, like, I enjoy the time I take off, but you know, you miss it. And I'm sure if you're a guy like him, where, I mean, the guy hasn't been booed since the, you know, since the big evil character that he did, you know, for the most part, he was just constantly cheered. You know, you got to miss that a little bit.
But. Yeah, but that's because that Saudi show, the audience wasn't allowed to boo, or else they would, you know, lose limbs. But that match is what scares me into Undertaker ever thinking that he should actually wrestle. What, again.
The Goldberg one or the DX one?
The DX Gold. One.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think it's in the cards anymore. And I also think that maybe he's got to sell some tickets. He's got a podcast now, right? Or he's.
Yeah, it's behind a paywall, Patreon. It's 6 Feet Under, I think it's called.
Yeah, so maybe he's trying to get more people to the podcast. I'm not sure.
He's trying to draw listens, trying to draw eyeballs. But where you need to draw your eyeballs, guys, too, is to Dance Fatty. Dance, Dan St. Germain's new comedy special, which is available through 800 Pound Gorilla. It's on YouTube. It is 100% free. It's a world-class comedy production. Hell of a show. I was there live, so yes, you will see me sitting in the crowd clapping, and you will see my bald spot. So that and that alone is worth tuning in for. But Dan, where else can the fine folks find you?
Follow me on Instagram, Dan St. Germain on Daniel St. Germain on Instagram. I have a YouTube channel. Please join that. I have a website with my live dates. If you're in the New Jersey area, I'm going to be at Dojo East next weekend. And then the weekend after that, I'm going to be in Iowa at Teehee's Comedy Club. And of course, listen to Wrestle Roasts, the podcast that I do with Robert on ad-free shows.
Hey, Dom, do you do any other podcasts you want to plug?
Sure, I do a couple. One of a Kind with RVD, me and Rob. We just did a recording last night. New episode, we talk Mike Tyson. We talk Muhammad Ali. We cover a lot of different ground on there and some interesting perspectives on social media, too. So tune into that. That drops every Monday at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then I also do Straight Talk with the Boss, Magnum TA and Greg Gagne. We break down a lot of different stuff. We talk about the new Remco figure lines that they have going on for Powertown Wrestling. And then on top of that, we also talked Muhammad Ali's legacy in that one, too. And just the history of the business of getting trained by Vern Gagne and all that kind of stuff. So check those out. And definitely check out Dan St. Germain's Dance Fatty Dance. I was cracking up in Starbucks earlier today. So, Robert, what do you got cooking?
Well, you know, we've got Rumor and Innuendo every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern. We are streaming on WWCreative_ISH, the X account, the Dominic D'Angelo X account, Podcast Heat's X account. Our friends at Podcast Heat are who make this show possible, as well as the SE Scoops X account. We're also on YouTube on the Rumor and Innuendo page and on the Ad Free Shows YouTube page. Take that, Jeff Jarrett. We thank Dan for joining us here today.
You guys,
this was a pleasure. So, thank you, on behalf of the interrupting Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Take care, guys.
See you guys.